Hey, welcome to this week's edition of Autastic, a comedian's guide to autism. I'm Kirk Smith, here with...
Hi, I'm Graham Kay. Hi, Kirk. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Yeah? I'm doing good. For the new listeners who don't know, this is a podcast where we talk about all things autism. It's not science. It's just two comedians who have autistic family members we love.
It is not science.
It's definitely not science, and it's not serious.
No.
It's just... Two dudes.
It's just two people sharing their views and and their personal experiences. Right?
These are anecdotal experiences for the most part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
we're just trying to figure it out, like you guys.
Yeah, one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a 12-step program.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we usually do three little sections. We do a roundup, followed by in the news, and then the topic du jour. Today's topic we're going to get to is diet. Is some of you know in the community, I'm sure that there's a lot of dietary concerns surrounding autism. Most of us try different things with our loved ones, and so we're gonna get to that.
But did first, it cause it? Can it fix it?
Right. Does it help?
Yeah.
Yeah. So first, let's do roundup. How was your week, Graham?
My week's been pretty good. I hadn't been talking to my brother. We usually talk every day, sometimes for 5 minutes, sometimes for 20 minutes, and we went through this. It was weird. Like we didn't talk for like a week. It was weird, and
Just busy?
We both were busy. I mean, I don't know how busy he was, but, you know. So I started to get, I don't know, I just felt really guilty. And
yeah.
We're talking again, like, every day, and it's awesome.
You're just a human being. It's hard to, like, I think everybody goes through guilt surrounding this stuff. Like, trying to do the best thing for your loved one. You just do the best you can.
Well, it's just, people are always like, oh, you're so good. You talk every day to him, you know. I'm like, well, yeah, but he needs me.
Yeah,
like it's if somebody needs you, he can't talk to my 68-year-old parents,
right?
You know, he needs like a peer to like make go on Simpsons riffs with, and you know he needs that outlet, and it's like it's really terrible if he doesn't have anyone to talk to. You know, some days he probably doesn't talk to anybody really. He just goes to work and. You know, maybe he riffs with the work people, but
so
they're
if
not,
he,
they're,
if,
you know.
If he wants to talk about the big war, he talks with your grandpa. If he wants to talk about Simpsons, he talks to you. I get it.
Yeah, well, all my grandparents are dead, but thanks for bringing that up, Kirk. God, man.
Right off the bat. Zingers, right off the bat. Graham's on fire today.
Peter used to always ask my grandma, so do you miss grandpa because he's dead?
Fair question.
Just out of the blue, like years after. Peter. Oh, my parents. Just Peter. No.
What'd your grandma say? Did she have a good sense of humor? Or
she was a very like old school Scottish woman.
Accent? No accent.
No accent. I mean, she was born in Canada, but both her parents from Scotland. And
tough old lady?
And she may have... She was just no humor in it. Yes, well, sometimes I do. Yes, just stare him down.
Time to time, sometimes I don't. Yeah. Sometimes it's good to have the time alone, not be bossed around, told to cook and clean.
But one of the things that's good about this podcast for me. Even as a host of it, is it gets me thinking more about autism and more challenging my relationship with my brother and asking sort of deeper questions about him and what his relationship is with his own disability and stuff like that. And we had a talk the other day, and he wrote me back an email, and it was pretty insightful. I felt, you know, the way he sort of does view himself as having a disability. You know, he says, I have my disability. You know, I only want to meet girls that have a disability, but not girls that can't live without their parents, you know, which is fair.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always like...
Well, I think part of it is, I think if he's aware that he's got some challenges, he's probably like, I'm barely getting by with my own challenges. I don't know if I can take on
that's probably part of it.
Somebody's additional challenges.
He's never expressed that, but I'm sure if I dig, there might be something there. But anyway, he wrote me an email. His emails, he has a different style of prose than most of us, but it's kind of poetic and he gets the point across and I like it. And he's very polite. Hello, big bro. And how has your week been going for you? From your little bro, Peter. So for this week, today is when I completed another great whole Wednesday morning work shift at The Works, which is a burger joint that hires developmentally delayed people.
Awesome.
And luckily, I was still able to get fully dealt with way before 10 a.m. His shift ends at 10, so I don't know. Also, Graham, for this week, where we first discussed details about being disabled, well, I guess it's only hard to be disabled if you have a disability that makes you feel very frustrated. Like, if you can't speak very, very well, and if you had tons of problems with pronouncing words properly, like the way Chris, his friend from a special needs group, has been. Well, but it can't be his fault. So Peter knows that it's not his fault, which is good. But I couldn't make out a single thing that he was saying. So that meant I really couldn't understand a single thing that he was saying. Which has to be frustrating for Peter, one of his best friends, not be able to talk to his best friend, you know? Well, at least that meant Chris was always taking way, way too quickly a lot more than the times when I would talk too quickly. So he's saying Chris talks too quickly. But I don't want to have any more habits like that too. So Peter used to talk really quickly, and he sort of learned to slow down. My parents were good, and he would talk out a lot, and you know, he didn't understand like questions like with my grandma that he couldn't ask and stuff like that, and he learned that, you know, maybe to not ask personal questions, which he does say in this letter. P.S. One more thing, and the best thing about Peter's letters is the P.S. is twice as long as the bulk of the letter.
Yeah.
And he goes, I guess being disabled was sometimes hard for me to go through with. When I used to talk to one of our parents too much, and even one of them went right into the other room. Well, I don't know about that. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're listening. I don't remember. Remember. Turns out you talk too much to Pete, and you just left him. You were like,
well,
I gotta go.
I'm imagining he's talking to both parents, and one of them's like, you got this.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Well, I can't.
Give me a second. I'm gonna go in the other room. I'm tag teaming in like old school wrestling.
I'm selling out my parents right now.
No, hold on. Just listen to the story. I've heard most of it. I need to go check the roast.
Probably.
I'll be back. I'll be back.
I just picture my dad. I'm gonna get a scotch.
I love you, son.
I love you, son. I'm gonna get a scotch. Go to the basement.
Love it.
He goes, I sometimes wish Mom didn't tell me to spend time at the Glebe Community Center. That was our neighborhood, the Glebe, which is sort of like an after-school program that, you know, they had to put him in just because there was no place for him. I think it was before he found his special needs group called Live Work Play, which is an amazing group in Ottawa, Canada. And you should look them up and find another group like that in your area, because it was a savior for Peter, because he went to these like after school programs at this community center that he's talking about and just couldn't fit in. You know, he didn't know he had trouble communicating, like he said earlier in the letter. Like,
yeah.
He couldn't, you know.
But I feel for the mom too, for your mom. It's like, what do you do?
Absolutely. My mom did the right thing.
What are you going to do? You can't. Yeah. I don't know if it would have been more fun for him to hang out with a 50-year-old lady all afternoon, too,
well,
every day of the week.
Well, he she looked 39.
my math's way off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Ma'am, I'm sure you look terrific. I'm just saying you're not the same age as your son. That would be crazy.
No, it was
because of the way birth works.
She had to work.
So,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean? So,
yeah.
So
and she's making a household and doing all that other stuff.
You know, they did it for me, really. So I didn't have to take care of
right.
him after school.
Otherwise, you would have had to. Yeah.
Yeah. As like a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, I couldn't hang out with my friends, and I'd have to, you know, I could have a normal social life. So there's, you know, that's kind of sucks on my part that I couldn't.
This
you know.
Is a really insightful podcast for you, and I'm just realizing, yeah, like you're having to really address, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. 100%.
It's like therapy. We should name this Dealing with Graham. Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Well, how's that make you feel, Graham?
Well, I am starting to figure out why I became a comedian. it's all coming together here in this letter. Okay, a little more to go here.
We're wrapping up the section. We got this. Go ahead.
She goes, well, even if she thought other people would have taken me out to do interesting places. So basically what he's saying is, you know, she did it because she thought that Peter would see interesting things because they did stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And so I guess at the time when he was 12, she was like, but if you go, you know, you'll do fun things.
Yeah, you go to the bakery for a field trip. You'll go to the park. You'll go to the
slip
and slide, whatever that's called, the water park.
He just felt isolated there. Poor little guy. And he goes, I didn't care. So that means I really don't want to go to places with other people unless we were able to get along very, very well. From your bro, Peter. Then he goes, also, he goes,
PSSS.
Yeah. Also, here's one very last disabled update for the two of us to discuss. I sometimes being disabled can be very, very hard to go through. With, like, if you tried very, very hard to avoid not asking questions that wouldn't be any of your business, or even if you tried to ask questions that would be very rude to ask, well, you also shouldn't ask questions that wouldn't be too personal for other people to give an answer to. Case in point.
It's good insight.
My grandma.
Yeah.
You know, my parents were amazing with Peter, teaching him things like that, you know, patiently. And he sort of learned it. Peter is like, he can learn stuff, obviously, you know, and he still probably has that want, that urge to be like, do you miss dead grandpa?
But he's curious.
But he'll be like, no, it's probably too personal. Like, he goes, so I would like to remember this very important update at all times. I guess he means lesson by update. Well, luckily for this very thoughtful thing.
Update to the software, I get
it. Yeah, I really don't ask a very rude question like that. Okay, so
that's good.
That's sort of the letter.
That was a great
letter. They write, so take great care. Very polite young man.
It's great.
And
this, I'd like to remember this update to the software.
Yeah,
that is Peter.
It is an update. Yeah. Peter.
This is Peter 2.0.
Peter,
probably 3.0 by now.
Peter OS 31.8.
Are we counting months? I don't know. We're done. That was a good letter. That was a good letter. All right. Plus, he writes letters to your girlfriend, too.
He writes letters to my girlfriend, which is a good...
Bless you.
Thank you. Is a very good sign in a girlfriend where
she takes the time.
She writes back. She loves it.
Yeah.
My girlfriend is like, Peter is the best. Like, I'm like, it's cool, right? And she's like, it warms my heart every time. And he's such a nice guy. It's hard.
How much leverage does that give her to be mean to you and you have to take it when you know that she loves your brother?
A lot.
Seriously.
It's a thing. Like, with like, it's like, you know, if.
Because if she was mean to your brother.
Oh, my God.
What would it tell you? It'd tell you she's a bad human being. At some level, you'd be
She wouldn't be my girlfriend. She'd be a girl I dated
why?
And then
because
became
a jerk.
Like,
you don't have the compassion to be a human being that I could spend time with.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're a sociopath.
Right.
You know. It is a good little litmus test, you know, of a good girlfriend, and it's also like, I don't know.
I totally get it. I feel the same way.
They have their own relationship now, which is
that's
like
crazy.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's great.
But I have great friends. I'm like really, really. I'm not a religious guy, but you know, I'm blessed or very lucky.
Yeah.
You know, to have. Really good friends that I grew up with, some of which I don't talk to anymore. I talk to once a year.
Right, you see them at Christmas or something.
Yeah, and then Peter emails them and calls them on the phone, and they email back and call him on the phone, or answer the phone anyway.
Yeah.
I got a friend, he's a photographer, and he just puts Peter on...
What's his name?
His name is Andrew Geddes.
Look him up, people.
Yeah, he's a wedding photographer. He's fantastic.
If you're out there in Ottawa...
Fantastic
Toronto.
Wedding photographer. I think Ottawa. He's the he's the best wedding photographer, most popular, most expensive anyway in Ottawa. But
that's how you determine quality.
But anyway, when he does editing, he just answers Peter's phone and then puts it on speaker and just goes, yes,
That's awesome.
Just lets Peter talk himself out.
No, that's great. Yeah. That's what people need. They need a listening ear. Yeah. No, I do the same thing. If somebody, not that I screen calls it, but I mean, you know what happens a lot now, which is disturbing? It happened to me two nights ago. I wasn't going to talk about this, but we can. That somebody said, jokingly, I think that guy's autistic. Or, you know, we talked about this before where it's become the new retarded.
Yeah.
Where you call somebody And so, like, usually I'll let one go because I don't want – I got other stuff going on, man. I'm about to go up, perform. I don't have to correct everybody I ever see.
Yeah.
But if I hear two in a row, then I feel like I'm being disingenuous if I don't say –
Don't go to Boston.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being disingenuous if I don't say –
Yeah.
I have a severely autistic son.
Yeah.
And we do a show about it, whatever. I'll say something just so that they don't embarrass themselves when they find out later. Like, we hung out all the time and I –
You're right.
10 times.
You're right. And well, people need to know. I mean, I understand that you just don't have time to correct everybody. Like, you're about to go, like, but if you have the time and you're talking to somebody and it irks you, you don't deserve to feel that way. You know what I mean?
I don't have
to feel that way.
It makes me feel heavy-handed though, usually.
Who cares?
No, that's true.
Who cares? You know what I mean? I mean, listen, when I was a teenager, I used the word retarded all the time. All the time. Not in that, you know, I never connected it to my brother. I was like,
right.
You know, I was like, it's, I use also use the word gay. I call people gay. You know what I mean? It was the 90s.
Yeah. It was the 80s for me. But yeah.
Like it's like language changes and it's 2015 and you don't, we know now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we said this before is the reason why I didn't feel bad about saying retarded when I was a teenager is because I knew it wouldn't hurt my brother if he heard the word retarded.
Right.
It's for people who, like yourself, you know, they don't, it hurts them.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. You don't need to say it.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not even like, yeah, you have the right to do it. Of course, First Amendment, you can blah, blah. But
why hurt somebody?
You're going out of way to hurt someone's feelings. Yeah. I don't know if you need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's a great letter, man. That's a great letter. All right, that was our week in review. Should we do in the news?
We should. That was a big sigh. Are you all right, pal?
Yeah, no, it's
a little
good.
Heavy.
It's a little heavy. You know, you're thinking about like I was just thinking about.
What you thinking about?
Well, I don't know. It's just like where, and we've talked about this, and we can edit this out if it gets too long. But it's like where you have something that defines you, and I think we're all such complex human beings. So like, I grew up in South America. I worked in an orphanage in Romania. It was my 20s. I speak a few languages. I've been to a few places. I'm a father. I'm an author. And so just to be defined as, oh, he's the dad of an autistic kid,
right?
To where that's your total identity. I think that's one of the struggles of parents, where it becomes
right.
I'm about to do a set. I'm at a show. I'm about to go on stage.
Right.
I don't want to have to correct some 22-year-old girl who just started in comedy.
Right.
Why she shouldn't say autistic while I'm trying to prepare my set. I just want to be a human being. I don't want to always be the autism guy.
Yeah.
And so
that's
the part where you're like, I already do a podcast about this. I wrote a book about this.
Uh-huh.
Do I have to bump into every...
Yeah, I get that.
You know, debutante whose parents paid for her college and she doesn't have any emotional intelligence and I have to fix it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the struggle where you're like, jeez Louise.
Well, you just, when you have the energy, you do it. When you
don't,
you
pick and choose.
It's
usually, like I said, two. I'll listen to two.
You know,
first
what?
One, you get a slide. But after that, I'm like, listen, I have to at least say...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, I think that's the way. Otherwise, you're just going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
You can't change the world in one day anyway.
I don't know if,
you know?
I think you got to pick and choose your battles. This is the way we're choosing our battles. I like this podcast. I like this opportunity to talk to people. We have a lot of people that tune in that don't have a connection to autism and really just speak from the heart, not from a confrontational point or, judging, just telling them, man.
Should we jump into the news?
Let's do the news.
Yeah.
In the news. Okay.
Big sighs. Sighing into the mic.
We're going to have to edit that out. Okay, in the news.
Let's do in the news, man.
There was an article that came out this week. It was a study by the University of Rochester.
Wait, stop. All right, let's do in the news.
In the news.
Let's do in the news, man.
Let's do it. This week... There's a study by the University of Rochester, scientists at the University of Rochester, and they published an article in the Journal of Autism and Developmental Disorders that basically says that particular dietary interventions may not make much of a difference, and it's specifically as it relates to gluten and casein, which I don't know if you remember, gluten is found in is a protein found in wheat that it's been theorized for years that autistic people have kids have a hard time digesting it. And casein is a product found in milk and dairy products. And so some researchers have argued, I'm reading here, that children with autism have trouble breaking down these two proteins during digestion. As a result, they develop what's known as a leaky gut, which causes physical discomfort and behavioral symptoms. So this is interesting. So like in our, my son, there was like, he has digestion problems. So that's very common actually. And they don't know exactly why.
Mm-hmm.
But he like suffered from constipation from time to time. And then the opposite. So you're always struggling to get a good balance of food. So like for us, it was making sure he eats fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of autistic kids have tactile issues. Like they don't like the way things touch or feel. And they feel that way about food, too. So they don't like the way certain foods feel in their mouth, like if they're too slimy or if they're too whatever. So, like, usually they're, like, crunchy. Or, like, my son likes crunchy. So, like, chips or, like, popcorn.
Rice Krispies with
Rice
ketchup.
Rice Krispies. And the ketchup is the vinegar and the salt. Yeah, sugar. You get that sugar, that mix. Yeah.
My brother loves spaghetti.
Okay.
Absolutely hates lasagna.
Okay.
Like so many times we've talked, Peter, it's the same
ingredients.
Thing. It's the same thing.
It's like Taco Bell. They've got 17,000 items on the menu, 3 ingredients.
Yeah, it's just a big grinder.
You get beans, you get rice, and you get meat.
Yep.
How you want it, in what order, how much of each is up to you.
Yeah.
That'll be $17.99.
But it's the texture of the long, flat noodle.
Too slimy, probably.
Too slimy.
Yeah.
Doesn't like it. And, I get it. You know, he just will not, to this day, ever since he was a little kid, he was like, yeah, he just can't do it, man.
You were telling me it makes him mad.
Makes him mad. He gets angry. Like, what is this?
How dare you?
You know I don't like lasagna. How dare you? We've discussed this. Ad nauseam, mother.
I love it. That's not for you, Peter. That's for your brother. I made you spaghetti. That's right. That's better. So
just chop it up.
The study came out. Yeah, that's what you do, huh?
Put in the Taco Bell grinder.
You chop it up, put in the taco shell.
Yeah.
So there's some dispute on this study, though, because there's a big study that came out of Norway in 2002 by Carl Reklet. I'm probably saying it wrong.
Doesn't matter.
Who said that this new study is too short. Because it's only a few months, and he's saying that basically it's too complex of a problem to deal with that quickly. So if any study is, quote, not longer than 3 months, it is the stuff of fairy tales and should be taken with a grain of salt. So it's interesting. We'd be interested in hearing what you guys have to say. I know we tried the dietary restrictions. It didn't work for us. It's hard, too. Because
why didn't it work for you?
It's super hard because wheat is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard different things on whether it's genetically modified meat. I personally think that's part of the issue. We've been eating wheat for thousands of years, but these last 100, we've started modifying. It's become very few species, so you're eating the same kind, and we genetically modify it. So then I think our bodies aren't used to it yet. I think that's part of the problem. But I don't have any science for that. I've read a few articles, and it seems to make sense to me. But it's hard because, okay, so there was 2 churches I remember that did respite programs for us. Like once a month, so like maybe the first Thursday of the month.
What does respite mean?
Like they would watch the autistic kids on like a Friday night for 3 hours so you could go on a date with your significant other. Yeah. But they would always serve pizza because you got to get these kids eat. You know, kids in general eat, and an autistic kid.
It's easy. It's cheap.
It's easy. It's cheap. It's fast.
They love it.
But there's wheat
right
in pizza. And there so is. If you're, it's impossible to keep an autistic kid away from who doesn't want
to. I see. So when you were trying to take away wheat, he was having pizza parties at the church.
Oh, it's impossible. You know, how do you explain to him that he doesn't get to eat pizza? Everybody else gets to eat pizza.
He can't.
It's his own personal little hell. And he's sneaky. He'd sneak over and like he'd act like, oh, so he'd bring him his own food and he'd act like, oh, that's cool. And then he'd.
You would try that. You would try that.
Oh, yeah. And he would sneak over to the ball pit, get a little closer, grab a piece of pizza, eat it as fast as he can, like prison rules, just start shoving it down his face. You catch him like halfway through.
Cool.
And then he surrenders it to you, like, oh, okay, you got me. Then a half an hour later.
So he knows
later,
he's not supposed to have the pizza.
I mean, I don't think he knows why.
Yeah.
But he knows he's not supposed to. And half an hour later, he's sneaking over to the table, fiddling with something on the floor, acting like he's not paying attention, grabs a piece of pizza, starts eating as fast as he can.
A little spy. It's like
little pizza infiltrator.
Cold War spy. He's a little jewel thief. Pizza thief.
So these diets are hard. These diets are hard. And there's milk and a lot of things.
Peter did that with bacon at a wedding once. They had like a buffet in the next morning. And he literally came back to our table with a plate about 4 inches high of only bacon.
It's like 2 pounds of bacon.
Sweet bacon. I don't know. That doesn't really correspond to what you were saying, but they reminded me of just how we're like, don't get too much bacon. He's like, sure thing.
It comes back. He just does what he wants.
Yeah. Yep. Uh-huh.
Just does
but
what
I like
he
bacon,
wants.
So I'm going to eat the bacon.
There's a comedian named, he's on the show Undateable, Ron Funches,
Funches, he's got an autistic son.
Yeah, he's got an autistic son, and he has a bit where
he lives with his autistic son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He has a bit where it's about how it's such a great bit. Something about how the opening bit and send your angry emails to him. But the opening bit is something like, "I have a 10-year-old autistic son, and he's an a-hole."
Yeah.
And some of you may not understand how I could call my own 10-year-old disabled son an a-hole, and you don't live with him. When you only say 30 words and three of them are more pancakes, biatch, then this whole long bit. It's so great about how the disability doesn't preclude the child from having his own personality.
He's still a human being. Still a human being. Still allowed to be a human being.
Still
with
has his own little quirks.
Yeah.
As it's just like all of us aren't great at all times. Everybody's got their own little quirks. And then the other bit I love that he does is about how I equate it to raising an autistic kid is like taking care of your best friend on a really bad mushrooms trip where you're also mildly on mushrooms.
Who's that?
Okay,
is that Ron?
Ron, yeah, yeah. The bit is, it's like taking care of your best friend who's on mushrooms while you also have taken a moderate amount of mushrooms. You're like, I don't know what the right answer is, but it's not to eat the mouse pad. Great bit. Great bit, Ron, where it's like, you don't know what you're doing, but I know what you're doing is not correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
You feel like you don't have answers, but I know this isn't the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I know the answer isn't for you to poop and throw it at me, which he's done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not the solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're going to figure it out, Kirk.
It's going to be fine. Yeah. Or it's not. Who cares? It's gonna be fine.
I gotta make it in this comedy thing before my parents go into a home.
Yeah, you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be fine, dude.
Okay.
It's gonna be good. Should we move on? Topic du jour?
Yeah.
Well, I think we kind of covered topic du jour. Topic du jour was food, right?
Food.
Yeah, this we want to talk about food and any other food stories? We can just cut this. I think we talked about food.
Yeah, we're at 27 minutes.
I think it's good. I think we do a couple replies to listeners and cut. I'll cut this part and then we'll do it.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to do a new segment now that we're getting more popular. We're getting a lot more fan mail than we used to, and some of them are really good. All of them, by the way, all except for one or two, make us feel really good. And it really, personally, Kirk, really warms my heart. A lot of feedback makes me feel like we're doing a good thing, and we really appreciate it. We can run on that for a long time. Thanks for letting us know that we're helping. Anyway, we have some of these letters are really, really fun. Kirk, do you want to read one?
Sure. We got quite a few tweets this week.
Yeah.
If you follow us on Twitter, just a reminder, it's a Graham K comedy,
mm-hmm.
Kirk Smith comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Tweet us. Also, you can tweet at Autastic.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, do that as a trending whatever on the Twitter.
Hashtag.
Hashtag.
Grandpa.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
On the MyFace.
Kirk is such a young-looking man, and it
who remembers the Civil War.
Every time he starts talking about Twitter, I realize that he's middle-aged. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about?
I know, I need to hide it better. I'm working on it.
You're hiding it fine. Just don't talk about technology. Yeah.
No, my rotary phone works fine.
Yeah,
cord reaches all the way to the bathroom. All right, Alexandra Lavalle tweeted us, "So glad my sister introduced me to this podcast. Autism awareness is the best. Thanks, guys." That was a sweet note.
Mm-hmm.
There was one on here that had a question. Autism Take On tweeted me and said, "Kirk Smith Comedy, hey, will you help our growing autism group and share one piece of personal advice?"
Mm-hmm.
Sure. The piece of personal advice, sounds like a tongue twister, I would give is to ask for help. I told you.
What do you mean ask for help?
Well, like, so we don't really have, that I know of, any mental illness or disability in my family that I know of. So it never even occurred to me that my son could be autistic.
Right.
Or I honestly had never even heard of it. I'm not sure I'd even seen Rain Man.
Right.
And so I had no point of reference. And so, like, when it all came and I was in my early 20s, it was a lot, man. It was a lot. And in hindsight, I should have asked for more help. Like, it's embarrassing to ask your brothers and your, because I was a very, I played college basketball and I was on like academic scholarships and I was a very nerd, whatever, I don't know, type A. And so to say, oh, I can't do this, this is way beyond my capabilities, is really hard for me.
Right.
Not anymore. Now I'm aware of my lack of success. But well, at the time it was really hard and I should have begged or asked, or, you know, aunts and uncles, I should have moved closer to family. I should have tried to get a support network like your parents have done, it sounds like.
Yeah. My dad has set up this sort of network for the inevitability of when they pass or can no longer take care of mm-hmm. my brother at all.
Yeah.
Of just not financial help, but just emotional support.
They're both equally important.
Exactly. Family friends, family members. Just like, basically, I don't know if they signed a contract, but he was like, look, I'm going to need you to email Peter, call him just once a month.
Yeah.
And did that to like 30 people.
You spread out the burden. Yeah. Not that he's a burden, but you spread out the work.
Yeah. So yeah. It's just, you know, Peter has constant contact being checked in, you know. And it's 100% necessary.
Yeah.
It's 100% necessary. So basically, Kirk, what I think you're trying to say is don't be afraid to reach out, ask for help. You'd be surprised how willing most people are. And you know what? If they say no, that's a very, very good opportunity to cross them out your friends list. Oh, good. You're not a good person. Peace. You know?
Well, I do feel like, so one of the reasons I like doing this podcast is that our situations are so different. My son is severely autistic, so he doesn't really talk. To be in the situation that Peter's in would be like kind of a dream for me. So the things I had to ask for mm-hmm. were harder. I don't need you to email him. I need you to keep an eye on him for a few hours. I need you to.
Right.
And so I feel like I had people I asked who straight up said no, who years later kind of come around. And I think it's an opportunity for growth for them. I know that sounds weird, but it's like, maybe it takes you a little while to get your head around this, but it's not about you. It's about us. And you need to think about giving back. And if not to your very close friends and family, to who then? Do something for somebody.
Exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, that's my advice.
It's an opportunity to bond, get closer, closer connection to your family.
Instead of make a few hundred dollars or $1,000, which is just money.
Mm-hmm.
Just turning into the socialist podcast.
I don't know about that.
We had a really nice note on iTunes, which is a good point. Please review us on iTunes if you're too iTunes if you're too busy. Just give us the 5 stars.
Please review us on your iPad, on your iPods.
If you could get out your Discman and punch in our digits and send us a page, I would appreciate it. So this is from Chris Klitsch. I believe I'm saying his name right. Last night, listened to your episode about kids having meltdowns. I'm going to edit this. It's kind of 2 summers ago on a 13-hour flight from New Zealand. Our son had a meltdown in the customs line at LAX. He was frustrated with the line going slow. My wife and I were also frustrated, I can imagine. All of us were exhausted, as you can imagine. Perfect recipe for a meltdown. We wound up having to drag him through along as the line moved. He started screaming that we were kidnapping him. With all the TSA agents and other law enforcement agents nearby, we were really afraid they were going to believe him and take action against us. Fortunately, they had been paying attention since the very beginning of our crisis and smiled kindly at us and seemed to appreciate our situation. I can only determine that these people had good training in how to deal with folks on the spectrum, and for that, I'm extremely grateful. Yeah.
That's nice.
Really nice note.
That's a great note. Thank you.
My son doesn't really talk, but I could see him doing that.
Yeah.
Not saying the words, you're kidnapping me, but I don't want to go. Stop taking me. He has said that to me before in a story. Like, I don't want to. No, no. Like, and that makes it look like we're kidnapping him. Yeah. No, no go, no. We did it.
We did it.
We did another episode.
Another episode. Guys, thanks so much for the feedback. Thanks for listening. As always, you can reach us at Graham K. Comedy, at Kirk Smith Comedy, both on Twitter.
Instagram.
Instagram as
Facebook.
Well.
Facebook.
Facebook.
You can like our Facebook page, Autastic.
Autastic. Like that page. Follow us.
One last plug. I've got a show coming out in December for you LA area people. January. December is in Dallas. And January for LA and in December for Dallas. Keep abreast of those dates. I'll send those dates out shortly.
Tweet. And I will be in New York City at the Stand Comedy Club on the 7th and 8th of January if you're in New York. All right, everybody. Thanks very much for listening.